Hi, everybody. Sorry to interrupt you. I know that we could keep in our breakout groups forever and probably should form more connections with each other, but we're gonna move on here. So Sal, what's next?
So the next part is, so I'm sure within each breakout group, we had a little breakout group as well. That we have a current like common theme amongst all of us is that we all have an understanding of that we need to do something. This is something that needs action. We need to take action. The issue always comes up is like, what action do we actually need to take? So we have to think of course, of what our gifts are, what our passions are, and what we bring into this world, and what we're really called to do. Some people have a good understanding of that just through their internal processes. Some people are still looking for that because maybe they needed something in their lives that wasn't there for them, like a rite of passage, let's say, like a vision quest, to actually go out and to really analyze what they need to do and call on the deeper forces of this world, the powers of this world to guide them with that. So this ties back into if we go out and we just start doing things and we're still coming from the mindset of, let's say, the modern perspective, this kind of disconnected perspective, we can get into real big trouble with that, obviously. This happens all over the world, and it's happening right now. There's these great uprisings of the masses, of this unified consciousness within different countries and different places that are saying, enough is enough. This is not healthy for us. But what ends up happening, we often see, is that because they're still coming from that modern perspective of disconnectivity, that they end up with something that is as bad as it was before, and oftentimes even worse. So we don't want that. You can see that every day with these coups and overthrowing the government, and the next thing you know, somebody else is in there that, is taking advantage of everybody in the same way, or it leads to great amount of violence and anger, injustice and fear, and all of that basically just continues the imbalance of the world. So there's basically an answer to this. The simplest answer is that we have to come to a mindset that is not disconnected. We have to basically reconnect ourselves and reconnect within ourselves, and then reconnect outside of ourselves, and then we'll have that, let's call it a visionary understanding of what we as individuals need to be doing and working within the whole. There's a section in the book that actually speaks about this in great detail, at least more than I'm seeing right now, and it seems like one of those things that people can overlook. I know I overlooked this statement. It's not a little statement. It's actually a big statement. It's small in words, but it's big in understanding and power. And this is actually, it came directly from what we call in Lakota, we call it Tunkhaxhla. And Tunkhaxhla, we often translate as grandfather. The idea isn't necessarily that it's a male or female energy or power. It's not your blood grandfather. It's the energy of the world, kind of like in a unified state of being. So like the storms, we could call the storm in the clouds and that energy a Tunkhaxhla. We can call the energy of the stone a Tunkhaxhla. We can call the energy like the unified energy of like a plant or an animal, Tunkhaxhla. So it refers to a lot of different things. But in the UIP ceremony, in the ceremonies that came through Wok Dukha and came to Godfrey, my teacher, they actually stated what the most important thing is for people to understand and people to know at this point. And that's I can't stress how strong of a statement that is. And I'm actually going to read a little bit of the book. And what on page 55 of the book, I write what this is talking about. Godfrey said, the most important thing for us to know that came from the Tunkhaxhla, the statement is, if we use a tool on sacredness, we profane sacredness. The only way to make this right is for the person using the tool to maintain the highest level of prayer. So again, it's kind of vague. It's obscure. There's actually a lot that's lost within the translation from the Lakota words that are used to the English, as always. But this is the most important thing to know. And what the way Godfrey clarified it, he did this around ceremony in particular. So what he talked about is like using a tool like a knife to cut down a tree. We use these little fruit-bearing trees. They're actually chokecherry trees, a particular type of fruit-bearing tree. And we cut down these trees, and we use these little shoots and saplings as part of the method to offer our prayers and to tie our offerings of tobacco onto them. So if we take that knife and we cut down that tree, and we're not doing it with a deep sense of connection and a deep sense of reverence and a deep sense of like communication to that essence and to that energy of that tree, then we disconnect ourselves from that essence and from that energy, and we just use that tool in, I would say, the negative way. It's just not a conscious way. Well, when we do that, that breaks one of those ropes. It severs one of those connected points that we have within us to those objects. So if you apply that out even farther, you know, think about this, the consciousness around using a tool to, let's say, quote unquote, you know, cut down all the weeds in your front yard or your backyard. As soon as you make that mental and that verbal statement of calling a plant a weed, you've automatically disconnected yourself from that. And it makes it a whole lot easier to cut down and to kill, right? So if you apply that out even farther, what I found is that what if you applied that out not only to, let's say, the weeds or the nuisances or the things that you easily devalue in life, but what if you apply that out to all the connection points? What if you apply it out to the earth as well? And you start looking, you know, what I did is I started to look around at the society that we're living in, and we dig into the earth and we extract these parts of the earth's body to take and use for our own purposes. So we're using tools now like these gigantic shovels, you know, and these backloaders and, you know, using dynamite to blow up the earth and to strip down and take down mountains and gouge holes in the earth and cut down the rainforest and all of these different things and all these different tools that we're using in this disconnected process, that if we just apply this idea of connection and this idea of this original form is sacred, and we understand and recognize our connection to that, then we immediately change our behavior and our habits. What I'm going to read a little bit more of the book to explain this some more. So what I wrote is, when I first heard the words, I didn't understand what the actual definition of profane was. After looking it up, I had found out how strong the meaning truly is. To profane sacredness is to abuse it, treat it with contempt or irreverence. And, of course, that shocked me when I first heard that, because if you apply that to a ceremonial setting in particular, because we're supposed to be in this really connective, sacred state, if we're not doing that, then we're degrading the whole process of that ceremony. And thinking about that, you know, this individual's life is basically kind of like on a razor's edge balance between their life and death. And we're using a disconnected process to, you know, try to get help for this person, then obviously it's not going to go so well, not for them and not for us. So I broke it down some more, and what I wrote in the book is, each and every part of creation is sacred as made by the Creator. Humans have been given a unique gift of being able to manipulate and alter that original creation, but our gift has a cost. The cost of that gift is that we profane the original creation every time we modify it with our tools. If we alter the original creation without the deepest prayer and respect possible, then we've degraded creation with our abuse, and this leads to many unintended consequences. So what we normally do, and this isn't written in the book, but what we often do is we use a tool on creation, let's say to alter it, and then what we often do is is alter it into another tool, a more powerful tool, and that gets altered into another more powerful tool or use, you know. And so it all becomes a repetitive and exponentially increasing disconnected process that pretty soon, you know, the visionary experience of that web of life being tattered and broken becomes a reality. And this is that may be the reason, or at least a big reason, why we're currently in the state of reality that we are in right now. It's because we've done that for generations, and we've done that so long now that we can take a whole mountain and blow it apart and strip it down, destroy that spirit of that mountain, destroy the earth itself, and just take what we want and use that to fuel our energy needs, or to fuel whatever it is that we're fueling with that, you know, to turn it into some sort of metal that we can use within our homes or our vehicles or whatever it may be. So we've gotten to this very, very really desperate place of abuse. And so how do we correct that? How do we make that well? And I'd like, you know, the main thing that I would like for people to take away from this talk is understanding that maintain those ropes, maintain that sacred connection. If you feel like you're not connected to something in that sacred relationship, understand that you are, and understand that the way to do that, we call it prayer, and prayer is a really misunderstood word. Actually, the word in Lakota isn't prayer at all. It's called wochekia, and the root of that word is chea, which means to cry, right? So it's like this heartfelt sense of connection, this heartfelt voice that comes from within you that actually is what helps to maintain that connection. So with that, not only comes that heartfelt sense, but also the mental understanding that we are connected to every part of creation, and that every time we change something or that we alter something, without that understanding and without that heartfelt sense and that knowledge and taking the actions around that, then we've created a broken rope. And that broken rope, it may be something small like the sapling that we cut down, or the weeds that we cut out of the ground, or it may be something large like you know, like the rainforests that are being cut down at, you know, this insane rate, and the consequences that are coming from that. So you can see it applies not only to our individual lives, but it applies out to the whole world and our whole society. So we have to maintain that. Now, the other part of that is we need to be in a state of balance to begin with to actually understand this. And we need to be in a state of balance to understand these connection points and these ropes. So within a person, there's we break it down into like four major parts. There's a lot of subparts, and there's a lot of aspects to these four major parts. But if you could take it in these four parts, what it is you have your body, you have your mind, your intellect, you have your heart and your emotions, and then you have your spirit. So those four parts are equally important in a person's life. And those four parts need to be equally valued and equally educated and equally understood. Now, in our modern context, our educational processes often focus on pretty much the intellect part. And they were better at it at one point. I think that has dramatically changed in probably the last 15, 20 years, maybe longer than that. But if you look at our modern school systems, they say, okay, you're going to learn how to use your mind, but they don't really teach you how to use your mind anymore. They teach you how to follow rules and how to fail or lose or to succeed, you know. But there's no gray area. There's no learning process. It's all about passing the test or you're failing the test, and that's pretty much the only understanding that goes around that. So we, you know, a lot of times people that are raised in this way don't really even understand how to use their minds correctly. Now, we have a problem within society, especially in this upcoming generation, of these physical ailments. This is, you know, this obesity problem is a disconnection between our children and their bodies. They don't know how to use their bodies anymore. They're not using them correctly. Schools do a little bit of physical education around that, But obviously that's not working either, or we wouldn't have these problems. You know, understanding not only the physical activity, but what we're putting in our bodies and how that interacts with that within our bodies, and how that ties back in also to that disconnected process of how these animals are raised and how the animals are killed and how the plants are raised and how the plants are killed. Again, all disconnected. The third part is our heart, our emotional state, and our emotional understanding. Again, another part that is absolutely ignored within this society. You know, there's now this, a recent book, you know, fairly recent, this emotional intelligence, right? And it kind of gets into some of that. It doesn't really explain how to teach. It doesn't explain what the purpose of emotions is. It just this pretty much says that that's like the defining point of people that are, you know, successful and people that aren't successful, putting it in their own, in that book's terms. So people that have that natural understanding of how to work with their emotions and how to be emotionally intelligent tend to do very well. Well, this was originally part of, you know, an indigenous society's training is what are emotions and why do we have them? And how do they teach us versus just feeling something for the sake of feeling it? You know, that's not healthy. And or the understanding now that, you know, everything has to come from the heart. You know, a lot of times you'll hear that around ceremony and you'll hear that around, let's say, connective processes. And it's true to a point, but if you're only dealing with your heart and your emotions, and you're not thinking things through, you're not feeling things through, and your spirit, you're not listening to your spirit in that connection, then it can become a very, very unbalanced as somebody that is only intellectual, or as imbalanced as somebody that is only focused on the physical. And the last part is probably, in my opinion, the trickiest part in this modern age, because spiritual understanding, true spiritual understanding is really, it's not only not there, but a lot of times it's corrupted to the point of being so twisted that it becomes, you know, some sort of like dogmatic religion that has no connection points, or it becomes, you know, some sort of manipulation control form, which both goes against the very vein of spirituality. Spirituality comes down to a lot of different things, but maybe the easiest way to say that is our spirits are our essence. They are the piece of us that was here before our bodies were, and they will be here afterwards. So this spiritual part is really different than our minds. It's really different than our emotions, and it's really different than our bodies. And this is where certain choices were made about, let's say, our lives and what we need to do in our lives. And the communication that comes through that is dramatically different than what you perceive with your heart, what you perceive with your mind, and what you perceive with your body. So the whole thing about it is that all of these four parts have to be understood, and all of these four parts have to be educated, and all of these four parts have to be enhanced to a point of balance, of true balance. And once that it takes place, then a person knows their vision, they know their purpose, they're physically strong, they're emotionally strong, they're mentally strong. And they have all four parts working at full steam. How do we get there? You know, how do we get to all four parts? There used to be great educational and mentoring processes for that. They're coming back, you know, slowly through the work of the Eight Shields and through many, many other people in the world that have this understanding. But the biggest thing is, as far as my calling and what my purpose is behind writing the book and what my purpose is behind doing the work that I'm doing, is to get people to basically be empowered and healthy in all four parts. And once you're empowered and healthy in all four parts, and you have that understanding, you have that communication, and you have that ability to really stand on your own feet, be grounded in the world, and really know your place in the center, you know, The eloquent way of putting it is, you know, you'll know your place in the center of the medicine wheel. You'll know your place in the center of the universe. And understanding that you and inside of you, there's actually a universe unto itself. And that this universe inside of you creates your reality. It creates what is happening around you. and it creates your experience in this life. And there's a whole lot of teachings that go along with that. You know, teachings not of good and bad or right or wrong, but teachings of learning, teachings of being aware, and teachings of being connected to your four parts and thereby being connected to the external world around you. So this is where we need to come from. Nature connection is a huge, absolutely critical and huge part of that. The way ceremony ties into that is, again, ceremony enhances those connection points. It actually, in some ceremonies, it instills those connection points. And there used to be ceremonial processes for people all the way from the day they were born all the way until the day they left. Remnants of that are still apparent within our society, but again, it's corrupted and disconnected. So we still have baby showers, you know, but do we have a naming ceremony for that baby, looking at that child and what they were born into this world for? We still have wakes and funerals, but they're rushed and hurried, and nobody's allowed time to grieve, you know, and to really heal and to start building themselves back from that pain and that loss. We have these rites of passage, like a person getting their driver's license or becoming 21 and being able to drink, you know. They're still rites of passage in their own way, but they're very disconnected. They're not balancing a person. They're not balancing that individual within those four parts, and they're definitely not balancing them for a healthy society within the group. So my goal, my purpose, my vision is to tie this ceremonial understanding, this cultural understanding that I acquired through doing you know, these ceremonies for all these years and living with a indigenous society, a Native American society, recognizing both the parts that were very healthy and very connective versus the parts that were very unhealthy and very disconnective. And, you know, I definitely don't want to give the impression that, you know, the state of the Lakota society now at this point is super healthy, because it is not. There's some very, very beautiful things that have survived the cultural genocide, but there's some things that are absolutely terrible that have manifested from, you know, the concentration camps that we call reservations. So understand that basically I was a witness to all of that, and I was taught these high-level ceremonies on how to maintain these connective processes. And I was taught not only how to do this, but how to teach others on how to do this. So the goal, my personal goal, isn't to become the leader. My goal is really to empower other leaders, to show them here's these different parts and here's how they come together and here's how you can utilize this within your communities, coming from the state of balance within yourself and thereby creating balance within your communities and thereby creating balance within the society, and that radiates out to the world. So we get into this, what we're doing at this point and kind of what I've been developing. The first part of that is the book. It has some really fundamental understanding, but these lessons that are very basic within that can be expanded upon tremendously. You know, this is just like if somebody walked into ceremony today, I would hand them the book and say, just read the book and then we'll talk. And that's part one. That's kind of like the first goal, is to get to this base understanding, and then we can start building up from that. The next part is doing, you know, teachings, doing these workshops, doing this education, and really utilizing the models that we have nowadays to start doing that. We have this wonderful thing called the internet, you know, that is such a powerful tool that we can reach so many people as we are right now. We have the ability to pretty much understand the world from a world consciousness perspective versus the individual perspective, or even the I call it like a tribal perspective or community perspective, but now we have this global, we have a global tribe that we all have resources that we can tap into and understand from and grow from. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, but we also have some beautiful tools, and we're also, you know, as human beings, we're always given the ability in each generation to work on the problems that we have on hand. So I think I'm going to stop it now, Dave, and take a little break. Do you want to add anything or say anything, Dave?
Gosh, I'd love to let people know the website for the program, for the Helpers program, which is 8shields.com/helper. If you want to see more information about this program, and then just to open it up for question and answers.
Yeah, sounds good.
So go ahead and press the 1 button on your phone, and I'll mic you if you have any questions.
Do you have anything, Dave?
I see Haku has a question, and I do have a lot. I mean, I'm just kind of soaking it all in right now. It feels like this is such a perfect time for this conversation and these teachings to be coming to me. And I'm going to save my comments for later and pass the mic over to Haku. You're mic'd.
Hello? All right. Can you guys
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for this call and sharing these practices with the world. One thing I've been wondering about recently for myself and for whoever else is interested in such a thing is and I haven't read your book, so who knows, maybe there's answers in there, but core routines for keeping a person on a healthy track. And you know, so like if they're falling down, and because like I've fallen down many times and seen people like that where you can fall way down, and I've been trying to search for and find routines and what kind of basis it should be done. Like, you know, I mean, right now I just have things like sit spot and sacred fire, but I don't really know how often or under what context, and going out into nature and things like that. But I'm wondering if you have any knowledge on things that people would do on a really regular basis and how frequently to keep themselves balanced and keep that energy flowing in a good way.
Yeah, so there's a lot to this question. An individual or for an individual, the reasons why people, let's say, fall down or maybe get bogged down or kind of fall out of balance can really vary. What we need to do is actually look at what part of that four different parts, or maybe what parts are not just in one part, but maybe there's multiple parts that aren't quite in tune with the other four parts. And so somebody might have a really difficult time on an emotional level, which would kind of dictate a different type of approach than somebody that has a really difficult time on a spiritual level or a physical level or a mental level. So it's kind of varied, but there are some things that people can regularly do. You actually named one of the really critical ones is just connecting up with nature. The easiest way to do that is to do a sit spot. Do that if at all possible, on a daily basis. And one of the things I found with people doing sit spots, there's a way to approach it kind of on an intellectual level, where you can go out there and you can sit and you can analyze, you know, what bird that is or what tree that is. And you go through your field guides or, you know, take that information back to study it later. And that's approaching it. There's nothing wrong with that at all, and that's definitely a part of it. But if that's the only part that you're going out to the sit spot for, then you're neglecting those other three components of life: your emotional, your physical, and your spiritual attachments and connections. So if you go out and you do your sit spot every day, a part of that should always be that Thanksgiving address of some sort. Another part of it is just, you know, being within that connective state and understanding what that is and how you are connected to those different parts, and using those this model of what we call the sacred question, you know, asking these questions and waiting for the answers, listening for the answers and making sure that you're paying attention for the answers and being in the state of quiet mind. That's the easiest, I think, and best way to do the nature connection piece for many, many people. Now, ceremonially, core routines would involve some sort of prayer method. In the Lakota traditions, in the tradition that came from Wokpika, they have these things, these tobacco offerings, which are called prayer ties. And within that, we take a piece or a pinch of tobacco, and through our energy, we put our energy of our need within that prayer and our need for that connection within that tobacco, and then we tie this into like little bundles. So this is one of the routines that the leadership program and people that are interested in the ceremonial aspect will definitely come into contact with. Another thing that we really, really need in our lives nowadays is some sort of purification method. You know, we live in pretty much a toxic soup at this point, and that's not an exaggeration. The food we eat, the air we breathe, the land we walk on, we've, again, through that disconnected process of using tools on things, have contaminated basically everything. So we need to have a way to actually extract that from our bodies and extract it in a ceremonial way. It's not like just going into a sauna, you know, where or taking a run where you would sweat out. You also have to include those other four parts of your being. One of the traditions that we use on a very regular basis is what they call sweat lodges. In the Lakota, it's called Inipi. Inipi is not translated to sweat lodge. It's translated life within. So we go into these Inipi ceremonies, and within these Inipi ceremonies, we use very, very fundamental components of life, like fire, like stones, like air and water, and we combine these in such a way that we're reestablishing the most fundamental and basic connection points that we have within us. We have a need for earth. We have a need to breathe. We have a need for water. We have a need for fire, and that's all contained within that ceremony. And also, as part of that ceremony, now we bring in the prayer aspect. We bring in the emotional connection. We bring in the community as other people are in that lodge or around the area with us. And we use our spirits to communicate, and we use our spirits to listen for the answers as well that may come in vision, or they may come in dream, or they may come in all these different other methods. But the Inipi is probably one of the most core routines as far as a spiritual connection and healthy balance that a person could maintain. Do you have access to something like that, Haku?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, because I know people who know of stuff in the area. I'm in like the East Bay area near Oakland. I've only gone to one, but I'll definitely take that to heart.
Yeah, and there's others. There's many others as well, but that's probably the most simplest, even though it's not like super simple, you know, as far as the ceremonial process. But the sit spots in combination with a regular purification will do wonders for people. Absolutely, you know, it will take somebody that is, let's say, initially spiritually weaker, you know, and that's not a judgment on them, but just, you know, they coming in from modern society to becoming very spiritually aware and strong very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Do we have time for one more, you think, Dave?
I think we do, yeah. If no one raises their hand, I got some people I'd like to call on, actually. Mariana, glad you could be here with us. Do you have anything you'd like to share with the group, or a question, or an answer, or anything?
I'm standing here holding a sleeping baby. Maybe Sal,
quiet.
I'm in the quiet place. It's on my mind these days how I take her, when I'm caring for her, how I help to foster these attributes, you know, the quietness, especially the quietness, you know. So we've been going outside and we'll go out and say hello to the sun and sing to the sun. And then I take her when the sun's going down and we say goodbye to the sun for the day and thank you. And sometimes we just sit out there, you know. And so one day she's 7 months old. She was mimicking the mourning dove's call. And, you know, so I've been thinking about these things, about how to be with her in a good way, to start fostering that nature connection and that quietness. So, Sal, if you want to say something about that, about your experience of living the indigenous way of life.
Yeah, definitely. This ties back into this concept of connection. I like to there's different ways I like to present connection. One of the ways is anything that is considered sacred is a connective process, or there's a very strong potency of connection to it. Another way to say connection is intimacy, right? We have to have a relationship, a very intimate relationship, to build that connection. Humans are not necessarily born with that level of intimacy. We have the potential for that intimacy, but we don't just like always develop that intimacy and in that connection, obviously, because if we did, then we wouldn't even have to have this call. but this idea of how to foster a child, an infant, who is reaching out with all her need and want for intimacy and connection, how do you foster that so that that's actually going to be instilled and those connection points are going to be healthy? The things that you've already mentioned, you know, just being in that quiet state and being with her and supporting her as she's growing, you know, from this newborn child, that will build intimacy. It definitely builds intimacy between you and her. It'll build understanding of healthy relationships that way. Now she's getting to the point where she's starting to reach out even farther. You know, now there's a mourning dove, you know, however far away that is, cooing, and she's starting to reach out with that connection, and that intimacy is starting to try to manifest, and so she starts copying that. So the easiest way is to support that, to support and recognize that this is what children do, and children sometimes express this in a very not unhealthy way, but very unacceptable in our society way. One of the examples is they might want to jump on the couch a little bit, right? And if they're trying to get this connection within themselves, they're trying to get this understanding within in themselves, they're trying to understand the reality around them. And oftentimes what you'll see as adults that are perhaps disconnected, we'll go over there and we'll stop them from doing that, or we'll stop them from mimicking the birds, or we'll stop them from playing in the dirt. And when we do that, if we do it enough, we break a connection point. And that person, that thread that was developing or that thread that was connecting, at that point stops. And it turns back in, you know, it turns back into that person, and it kind of like wraps. And it actually creates it's like a scar, would probably be the easiest way to put it. It's not that it's never going to heal, but it creates a very sensitive connection point that is really can manifest in some unhealthy ways. So as adults and as grandparents and as providers of care for the young, we need to understand that they're not, they don't have that intimacy instilled, but you need to help them to understand that and help them to enhance that and help them to experience this life. You know, obviously not letting them do something foolish or dangerous in the sense of that they could really get hurt, but you know, letting them explore this world and doing things like that, you know, saying prayers and seeing to the sun as it sets or the moon as it rises or, you know, really appreciating what's around them and what's happening in this life. I think I'll leave it at that.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you. I'm going to reflect on that.
So I got a question. If you would just share with us how we can connect more deeply with you and with your work, what offerings do you have? I know you have your book, but what else?
Well, the book was kind of like the initial push. I got to say that this isn't something that I've been looking forward to in a lot of ways. I actually avoided kind of stepping out of the shadows for a very long time. One, because I felt like I was not ready personally. I didn't think my family was ready. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And it's if you look at it in the wrong light, then it can become very overwhelming. And so I decided a number of years ago that, you know, I have to do this. Basically, the visionary experiences called me to say, okay, this is it. It's time. So I wrote this book. The book is probably the easiest way to just get some background and understanding of the journey that I took to actually gain this understanding and the knowledge that came from that. And then to the point now, you know, I've been doing this for like 20-some years, 23, I forget exactly what it is, but it's over 20 years. And through that, there's been basically wisdom gain because I've done it so many times. And I've kind of clarified things and understood things on my own. So the book is that expression of me reaching out to people and saying, okay, here's some information about myself and here's some really core knowledge that people need at this point in time. The next thing is through my connection with John Young and the Eight Shields Institute, which is really a dynamic connection. Because of Gilbert Walking Bull and because of the many medicine lineages that have been passed on to John and myself as well, we're now working on this program, what we call the Leadership Initiation Program. And what this is about is it's about creating the people or giving the people that are called to walk this path of ceremonial leadership and connection an opportunity to have this mentoring process that I went through over these last 20-some years and get them rolling on that so that they have a vehicle to really learn that and to understand it and to work with it at, you know, as a high and proficient level as I can bring them to. I don't have all the answers, but I have this bundle. You can call it a medicine bundle that it's not mine. It's for me to share with people. So that's this leadership initiation program is to really get people that are called to this path to really walk it in integrity and high conduct and really purposeful in the world. So that program is actually scheduled to start in May of this year, at least the initial offering of it, looking at developing that and expanding that into an international offering. Beyond that, doing work with different communities as far as like doing INIPI workshops where I actually go in and do teachings around the INIPI and we construct it INIPI and we talk about what it means, and then from that group, you know, if it's a whole community, there may be one or two leaders that really call to facilitate that ceremony for their group, and then that deep instruction will be for them, but also providing the opportunity for people that they need the ceremonial processes, but they're not necessarily called to be the facilitator, but that will give them the opportunity for those ceremonial processes in their life now. Another thing is, besides the workshop, is, you know, talks like this, of course, and just doing these general lectures and connecting people with people and people with themselves, you know, and people with the world, the nature around them. So that's pretty much where it's at this point. Plenty of work.
Yeah. Yeah, and where can people go if they want to connect with you afterwards? Do you have an email?
Yes, there's, yep. So to look at more on that, the leadership program, the website is hshield.com/programs/helper. I have a website as well that talks about this and other things. There's a little blog on there and different things that are going on. And that is just www.manamongthehelpers.com. You don't want to put the A, it's just manamongthehelpers.com. My email, probably the best one for this is sal@hshields.org. If anybody has questions, concerns, whatever the need is out there or whatever the question is, by all means, contact me in one of those fashions, through one of those websites or the email, and I will definitely respond to you as quickly as I possibly can.
Awesome.
And I just, the thing I wanted to let everybody know is that all the participants, whether you're on the call or whether you're going to be listening in later, an email will go out to everybody that signed up about my contact information and the different contact points. So don't worry about writing it down now. They'll be available. And I see Aria has her hand raised. I don't know if that was accidental, though.
Let's go ahead and...
I was just going to ask you to reiterate the website for hshields, but it sounds like you're going to send an email out, and that sounds great.
Yeah, yep. That will. You actually should have it probably today. But again, it's just hshields.com/programs/helper. So if you just go to the hshields website and then go to the programs, there's a tab at the top, and then the very last tab there is the helper program, a way to nurture connections. Cool. Do you have anything else, Dave?
Well, you brought our minds together, so it's time to go our own ways. I want to let you separate us and release us out, and just thank you, everybody, for being here. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks everybody, especially Dave. Thank you for setting this up and coordinating it. I really, really appreciate it. And I look
forward to
working together in the future, and I look forward to seeing everybody down the road. So, we brought our minds together with a prayer of thanks and a prayer of recognizing all the things that support us, and I want to basically do that again, recognizing where we are in this moment, in this time, and giving thanks for all of us coming together in this way. Thank you all for your hard work and love and connections out there that you are forming and strengthening and growing. And let us go our separate ways in health and happiness and safety and protection and love. And our minds are separated.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, all.